Welcome to Checks and Balances. I'm Michael Vincent. This is James Blair. And today we've got Alex Martelli back on the podcast to tell us, is it actually going to cost you $500,000 to get in that school zone? Alex, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
So today's episode is, I was talking to a client recently and they bought a house to live in. They've got two kids and they say to me, hey, our kids, we're starting to think about school zones. Our problem is we're not in the right school zone. We think if we buy the exact same house two streets over, it's going to cost us $500,000. And I was like, all right, I need two people to answer this question to tell me if this is true or not. I need Alex and I need velocity with the data. So we're here today. So Alex, let's start with property prices and school zones. Mm. Do they impact each other?
100%. I mean, we see the data that there is a direct correlation between property values and certain zoned areas. And we're seeing obviously those values, you know, really correlate, particularly over time in terms of where a school is becoming more popular in a state school that is zoned and those property values going up. So we've always known that grammar zone, you know, and that double grammar zone is exceptionally popular. And there are a few factors that play into it as well. But what I find interesting is that there's now a couple of other zones that are increasing in value, and that is causing an uplift in the value of the properties as well. So it's a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. As more money comes into an area, the schools become more desirable, drives more interest in, property values continue to go up. So it's an interesting one, that question of should you pay to go into a really good zoned school area versus paying for private school fees. The third option, of course, is, you know, is there a good local public school as well? But if we were to just look at those two points, one thing that I find interesting is there's the assumption that one is a equitable trade-off for the other. In fact, I was speaking to a principal of one of the large schools in a zone recently, and he made the point they're very different things. There are people who really want to go into one of those schools. They can afford to go into a private school. Grammar zone is full of parents who can afford to send their children to King's or St. Cuthbert's or St. Kentigan's, but choose to send their children to Epsom Girls Grammar or Auckland Boys Grammar because of the type of teaching, because they feel it will actually suit their child. Mm. Going back to your question, have I actually seen people say, you know, it's $500,000 more? I think $500,000 might be a bit of an exaggeration. I'm not a statistician.
Please don't see me.
But certainly there is an uplift, and you only need to go into the data and say, you know, what are we seeing between literally just the boundaries of out of zone versus in zone, and you do see the price uplift, and it does become more desirable. Certainly, I think the most dramatic you will see is in some of the zones like grammar zone, where people are saying, you know, we will put the extra effort in and find the extra, say, $200,000 or $300,000, as it might be, in order to get into that zone.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we see it on Trade Me and the listings all the time. It's always advertised, you know, DGZ, DGZ, DGZ. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, and some of them are, you know, houses, and some of them are these little pokey. Like, it almost like
nobody's
you're just
living.
Well, it's almost like you're just buying an address, right? So the kid can go to the school. Yeah.
Mm. Now, it's important to just disclose at this point, obviously, Checks and Balances isn't just Auckland based. It's not just national based. It's an international brand. So I am very keen. Today, we're specifically talking about Auckland, but I'm very keen if there's an other area of the country, particularly Christchurch.
I'm looking at you.
We're keen to do another episode down the line to dig into the data as well. Alex, the point around private schools is a very interesting one, right? Like you say, maybe it's not $500,000, maybe it's a little bit less. Mm. But if you're paying for private school fees, maybe like $30,000 a year, sending your kids to school for, I think, about 7 years, roughly.
It's so
about $210,000. Mm. And so you can send them to the private school, or maybe you spend $200,000 or $300,000 on upgrading to a larger home, moving a few streets across. I don't think many people are thinking about it like that. It's interesting.
Well, I've had a significant increase in inquiries from people who want some help finding a property within a specific school zone. And it says to me, those are still people who could choose to send their child to a private school. And again, it's coming back to that driver of actually we probably prefer to put the money into the house and get our child into that zone. There are so many factors that impact how people decide where that child is going to go. Obviously, the children have a say. If they've been at a primary school and all their friends are going to one specific school, then often they want to go there. I was meeting with a client recently. They live in a completely different part of Auckland, and they've approached me to find a property because their daughter goes to the local school. A ton of her friends are going into Rangitoto College. Now, they were talking about going to Kristen because it's private, they can get in, they know they can get into that property. But because their daughter wants to go there, they've said, okay, we will find a home in the Rangitoto school zone area. And they've got a healthy budget, sort of $3.5-4 million. It's a significant budget to go into Rangitoto zone. But they said, Alex, can you help us? Because we don't actually know the property values in that area, and we don't know quite where to buy. And Rangitoto College Zone is a really interesting one because it's so desirable at the moment. There's so much demand for it. It's actually where I'm getting the majority of my inquiries. It isn't for Grammar Zone, it's for Rangitoto School Zone.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's such a geographically small area. Relatively speaking, I think, you know, we looked at some data and I thought that was brilliant, that there's only about 11,000 homes actually in the Rangitoto school zone. And yet we know that that roll is now over 3,500. Last I heard it was about 3,800. That is a significant growth in that school. A friend of mine works in the math department there, and they've just, you know, ballooned. And, you know, it is a sign that it's a very desirable school. But because that area, there's been a bit of flooding in the through Rothesay Bay and Murray's Bay. So that's something that people are still concerned about and looking at property values. You know, has that impacted the value of my property? Well, it depends on whether you look at it in a 1 in 100 year event or not. And then the risk of coastal erosion has meant that area is quite specific in terms of where you can buy and what you want to buy. So that for me is actually the zone that I find probably most interesting in seeing where that data is going and what drives people to a specific zone. So parents will often decide where they're or think they know where their child wants to go based on what they've seen through their, you know, developmental years and early on, and said, yes, we think that actually a grammar school would be really, really good for my son or daughter. A lot of it comes down to where the parents socialize. If, you know, they all have friends, if they want to send their friends, if their friends are sending their children to the same school, then that's going to be a big driver for them. The other one that we're seeing a lot is the quality of education is, you know, very much in the media at the moment. Everyone's talking about it, and the outcomes, as we know, have not been brilliant. So more and more parents are going, okay, we really need to focus now on where are we going to send our children. And it starts earlier. It used to be you'd send, you know, children to the local primary, and primary was a primary, and then you might think about the quality of the education a little bit later, or whether you want to invest the fees. More parents are saying, actually, we're not crazy on these open learning classrooms. That's been a real hot topic.
Yeah.
They're looking more at the syllabus. You know, parents have actually now seen what their children are learning because of COVID and having this online learning. So they're going, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about some of the things my children are being taught. So they're actually studying the schools more closely and saying, I want to know the syllabus. Other parents are saying, this is fantastic. The teachers have done an incredible job. And, you know, let's get them back into school as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So I do think more parents are saying, let's look at the quality of education from an earlier point, and then saying, well, if Victoria Avenue is a phenomenal primary primary school, but in the public system, is it worth trying to find more money to get into that zone, knowing that you're saving the money on not sending your child to, you know, the private primary school? Yeah. And then saying, actually, we'll invest that money in the value of the home. But it also means that you've got to have that money early on. And then I know we've talked about this a little bit, just in terms of like how long are people actually going to stay in that home for. Do you put yourself under a bit of financial pressure now in the assumption that actually if we have two children, it's going to be worth it in the long run to get them into a really good grammar zone?
Yeah. So we've been working with Velocity, going back and forwards on the data side to try and get some really interesting points to back this up. So let's bring up the first one around, we've isolated three different school zones in the school zone versus out of the school zone, and what the median house price is. So if we bring this data up and have a bit of a look, so we've got Landscape Road, which is a grammar zone area, and there's a huge difference in the median value.
If you were going to cherry pick the data, that would be the one.
Yeah. So $1.5 million not in the zone, $3 million. $1.5 million not in the zone, and $3 million in the zone. Selwyn Road, which is 1.9 not in the zone and about a couple hundred thousand dollars in the zone. Mm. Alex, which school is Selwyn Road?
So all three of these are on the periphery of Grammar Zone.
Okay, cool. And then Upland Road, some very expensive houses going along in Upland Road. What have we got? About 100,
an $80,000 difference. Yeah. So Alex, when you look at this data, you know, and then you think about you're out in the market talking to people all the time, what does this tell you?
So I know, and obviously you would like to cherry pick landscape, like, oh, look at the impact of Gramazone. And we know there's a few things about Landscape Road just in terms of retail and commercial offering there. So it's a nice one to look at, but probably skews the data a little bit. Selwyn Road and Upland Road I do find interesting, and I dare not offend anyone who's watching this and is like, oh, I'm on the wrong side of Selwyn Road.
We like to offend people, Alex.
It's what we do.
What's amazing with the graphs is that you look at them, you're like, oh, there's not that much of a difference. It's $200,000. I don't have a spare $200,000 sitting in the bank account for a difference in property value. And if you think this is sitting right in the periphery as well, what's interesting about Selwyn Road and Upland Road, and again, no one be offended by this, get some angry Upland Road resident calling me. But typically speaking, you would actually find the other side of Upland Road in some ways is the more desirable side of the road. And I know we're just speaking to someone else who said, look, with Selwyn Road, the other side is actually the south side of the road. So technically, if you didn't have zone, there is an argument that these might be more on par or the other way.
So it's actually not a $200,000 difference because it's a slightly more desirable area. It's probably a little bit more than that.
Potentially, yes. And it is, I know that certainly once you're getting to those periphery streets, it's something that people are thinking of, because even if you're not going to send your child to a grammar school, you are thinking about capital growth. So there will be people who come in and say, well, I love this beautiful home on Upland Road, but I know if I'm on that side, it's DGZ. It's exactly. It's what it says in the title when you're on realestate.co.nz, and that grabs people. So people are thinking, okay, what is actually the growth potential for my property, even if I'm not going to utilize it for the school zones? On the flip side, you're seeing more people saying, look, we want a nice Remuera address, but actually we're sending the children to different schools. They might be out to King's, they might be going to Remuera Intermediate, whatever it's going to be, but they don't actually need to be in that grammar zone either. But 200,000 is a sizable difference, and it's what I'm seeing consistently across agents as well. I caught up with Richard Thode from Ray White Ebsen the other day. He really knows this patch, and I had a really good chat with him. And I said, what do you think the value is? He goes, look, because of the value of these homes, we are sitting at, you know, over $2 million. It's a couple of $100,000. And you're right. You have to think, well, do you then go for private tuition on the assumption you can get into a private school?
Very interesting point, Alex.
And well, the ROI.
Well, this is...
Well, that's the thing. It's, do you, you know, like... are you going to spend the money? Because you have no idea. Presumably, if your child is young and, you know, maybe you're doing this for the long term, you have no idea what your child is going to be like academically, whether even they're going to be interested in school. And we have talked to clients where they're like, it was a lot of money that I threw down that hole.
And Chris and Viv's, you know, saw early signs of kind of who you're going to become. And they were like, you know what? We're going to pass on that one.
Well, jokes aside, it's a real risk you run. Yeah. Like, sending your child, say, to one of the large schools, and some of these zone schools, you know, we're talking about 3,000 students. That's a big school. You're punting that you're paying $200,000 to be on that side of Upland Road, and the assumption that your son or daughter are going to love Epsom Girls Grammar or Auckland Boys Grammar, whichever zone school it's going to be, we can't punt on that. You know, that happens. I was speaking to a lady the other day. She said it was most useful. My husband and I divorced. And I said, oh. And she goes, well, she was in Rangitoto zone. Her husband moved to Westlake zone. And her daughter said, I am actually really not enjoying Rangitoto. And they ended up sending her to Westlake.
Girls, yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. Some benefits if you're divorcing parents may be in separate zones. Not advice.
Silver lining. I was living in Red Beach and traveling to Westlake Boys. And that was pre-motorways. That was a long trek on the bus in the morning.
Was it pre-Mike's Frosted Tips?
Or? It was maybe around the Frosted Tips. Yeah. But it was like you either went to Orewa, which has improved dramatically since I was going to school, or you had to go somewhere else, right? And my parents, I don't even think they went to the open day at Orewa. They just went straight
off
past
you go.
That. Yeah, we're like, you're sitting on the bus.
Yeah. So a $200,000 difference. You're right, Alex. A lot of people don't have a spare couple $100,000. You think about the impact on their long-term financial plans around taking on that additional debt. It's a very interesting point. So I'm keen to ask both of you, what do you think about, would you buy the more expensive house to get them into the school zone? And maybe if we just simplify it, opposed to a third option of just sending them to another school, but would you spend a couple $100,000 more to get them into that school zone? Or if private school fees are a couple $100,000, maybe a little bit more, maybe more like $250,000 over the time, would you do that instead?
Who wants to go first?
Oh, Mike, you would definitely go first.
House.
House? Why?
I would spend the money on the house.
The Vincent genes, you the likelihood of the ROI.
We'll do all right anywhere we go. It doesn't matter.
We're a social bunch.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I don't have children, so I don't know. It's very difficult for me to answer that question. And again, to the point where you must know, you know, as you're going through the early developmental stages, whether or not, you know, to a degree, whether or not.
Oh, I tell you what, the upside on Cooper, this guy is just bright. Like, granted, he's 15 months old. Granted, he falls over a lot when he walks, but you can just tell.
Granted, you can't quite get the food in the mouth all the time.
Yeah, but you can tell the opportunity, the way he keeps feeding Harry the pug and he's putting about 6 kgs.
Yeah, I mean, I would just have to say that the house, right? Like, I think if we're looking at the schools that we're talking about, Rangi, Westlake, Grammar, you know, probably Eggs as well. Like, the schools are good enough and the learning style is, or the teaching style is good enough there where I think children do well.
Yeah.
Going out of there. I went to Westlake and, you know, I think we did all right. But I would say, you know, I would go for the house over private school.
Alex, what do you think?
So I had a bit of a think about it in the lead up to this. I would go for the house because there's a couple of things with private schools. We know they get exceptional results and Metro Magazine love producing it year after year in terms of what those school results are. But I think if you buy into a really good zone, then you have the options available to you anyway. At least you're giving yourself those options. Mm. And we do know that those zoned areas do tend to do very well. So I've always been location, location, location. Yeah. So I would go for
funny,
the house.
The property Find side the of the
money.
Room.
Funny from a buyer's agent, a mortgage broker.
All right, Mr. Family Man. Tell us about it. What would you go for?
Yeah, I would. So like this is assuming it's the same house. I'm just moving a couple of streets over, right?
Yeah.
I would take the private schools.
You'd take the private school?
Yeah, because if we're talking about, you know, I can just move and grant I'm going to get some more capital gains, probably going to be slightly more desirable. Versus the option, you know, I'm going to be spending the money either way. I would prefer to get an incredibly higher ROI on Cooper's education.
That's
the only thing is, naturally, we know that Cooper is a genius. But the question
he
is...
He did crap his pants this morning, but continue.
Not a prerequisite.
Yeah.
So the only thing I would say is that we assume that you can pay the fees and go into a private school. Private schools, you know, they're looking at so many criteria now. They look at children and they will say, well, what are they like socially? Do they fit in? A lot of the private schools will require a report from the primary school to say, you know, is this a well-rounded, well-balanced child? You can have all the money under the sun.
Sure, but you're asking for donations right as a school right before those reports are meant to be produced.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's pressure on the private schools as well.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them will have a wait list and say, and yes, you might have all the money, but actually you're going to have to wait 4 years to get into the school. And then you go, well, what do we do for the next few years?
That is an interesting point. The other piece, just looking, coming back to the data, I think a lot of people would look at and go, these houses are so much more expensive than the median house in Auckland in this example. The big thing to discuss, well, yep, the areas are more desirable, they're more affluent, the land sizes might be bigger, the houses might be nicer. But this is just the reality if you want to get into these areas, right? And you might be able to go a little bit more on the cheaper side, but you are buying a much more expensive house and you have to think about why you're doing that.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting under the changes made under the former government in terms of intensification of housing was that we had more infill housing, which actually allowed more people to buy into some of these zones, like the double gram zone. I know we've talked about this quite a bit, but the ability now to buy a townhouse, and yes, you're going up and down four sets of stairs, it basically pays its gym membership. So you're buying into a significantly cheaper house than your average, you know, $2.5 million villa, which actually it puts a lot of pressure on those schools as well. And I can understand why the schools are getting frustrated is that they say, you know, there's more people moving in. As you made the point, if the requirement is just to buy a $500,000 one-bedroom apartment, which we know in these specific areas is what you're buying, you're lucky if you buy a car space, it puts more pressure on the schools, which have limited resources. They've only got so much land. And ultimately, they are still a state school, so they don't have the big school fees coming in. So they are reliant on those donations from parents in order to provide more facilities for more students coming into the area. So it's difficult. The one I also find very interesting is Western Springs, because was at a function recently where this lady was saying to me, and she was lovely, and she said it completely genuinely. She goes, oh, it was so tough, our first home back in the 80s. We had to live in Grey Lynn. I was like, yeah, I think.
It's like when Mike talked about Arewa being the mean streets.
Yeah. the mean streets of the retirement village, yeah.
But, you know, you look at the price uplift and the desirability of Ponsonby and Grey Lynn and now Freeman's Bay and Point Chevalier. Mm. So that's obviously going to drive up the values of the local state school as well. And again, they're going to be looking at their resources going, yeah, it's great that the property values are going up and there's more demand, but we only have a limited pool of resources available to us.
Yeah. Now, Alex, I want to just ask one more point before we move on to the next piece of data. Mm-hmm. Mike made a point during the week to me around a lot of people essentially buying like very small one bedroom type places. Do you, you know, in terms of your discussions in the market, is there a lot of people essentially buying addresses? Do you see much of that out there?
I hear about it. A lot of real estate agents tell me about it. Because I predominantly deal with or work with executives and families, I don't buy that many sort of smaller investment properties, but you do hear about it. And you, all you need to do, as you say, is go on the adverts and see one bedroom, 35 square meter property, grammar zone. You're like, well, that's going to be challenging. So
you're getting a family of five in there? Probably not, mate. Yeah.
And I think it's terrible shame that schools are going to start investigating these circumstances because they can't keep having, you know, these limits. You know, they are limited by how many students they can have. It was interesting a few years ago, I think it was Mount Albert Grammar School, could see that there was a development coming up and they actually, you know, looked at their zoning at that point. And I get this increasingly, people are becoming very nervous where they sit on those periphery streets, you know, on the zoning. They're like, well, is there a risk that the schools will actually start bringing those zones in?
Yeah, as the pressure on the role increases.
Yeah.
So Alex, another thing that you mentioned to me when we were kind of doing some research for this was not just the fact that we are spending a couple hundred thousand dollars more on the house, but the how long people are staying in these homes are quite a bit longer than the average. So if we bring up the set of data, okay, so Alex, what are we looking at in terms of these numbers?
Well, it's interesting because it does show that essentially people, it is families moving to these areas. We're not seeing people sort of turn them over. People are saying, actually, once we get into that zone, we are staying there. We're locking ourselves in. So as you can see, Auckland region turning over property every 7 years. Interestingly, New Zealand, from everything I've been told, we actually turn over our properties a little more than other countries. So I think it's because we're obsessed with real
That's
estate.
What I was wondering, and
we're very aspirational.
Also that you can fix for longer loan terms outside of,
that's
you know, because
really
you can do like
point.
A 30-year fix or a 10-year fix. So that may play into it a little bit.
Because you
see
some of the Instagram stuff, right, where people like have fixed their mortgage at 2.9% for 30 years, right? And they're like, I'm just
inflation.
Never going to be able to
what
move
inflation.
My house.
Yeah,
yeah.
So if we know that people are staying in their homes for on average 7 years in Auckland, obviously the one that's outlying is Auckland Grammar Zone. And Auckland Grammar Zone, I do put, you know, pinch of salt in there as well, is that it's already a very desirable area and there's a number of factors that draw people in there. But generally people are in there, they're saying, you know, this exceptionally good quality education across the boys and the girls. And so we're locking in and we're staying. The other thing is that a lot of people had the luxury of buying their homes many, many years ago where the ratio of income to house was a little bit more affordable, and we've seen that gap get wider and it's possibly going to continue happening. So once people are in that grammar zone, let's say you've got a couple of children, you're staying there. And I think you'll actually see those Western Springs and Rangitoto College zones start to grow as well because they are so desirable. But certainly if you've got two children in that zone, then you're going to stay there for as long as you can. That puts a lot of pressure on the housing availability. You know, ultimately there's less houses turning over and will push the prices up invariably as well.
Yeah, the old supply and demand.
Yeah, and the data makes sense, right? Like you're not just going to, if your education takes 7 years and then you've got a couple of kids going through school, you're probably not going to move the day they start school, the day they leave school. It makes sense. And then that puts more pressure on the difference in house prices because there's less volume.
Precisely. Yep. I find it quite interesting at the moment there's a discussion around also, because we're talking so much about zoning of schools, there's also religious. So the Catholic schools are exceptionally popular. And I've now got a few people really finding their Catholicism. Like they've not been to church in a few years, but now they
are
there.
Boy, do I go now. Yeah.
They've got a few sins to talk about. Yeah. Like, yep, I'm in there. And that becomes increasingly popular because or important because a lot of those schools are so popular.
Yeah.
You've got Barrideen and St. Peter's, some of these schools that are highly desirable, very, very good at sport as well. The pressure on that is that because it's not geographically zoned, you've got transport. So, you know, there are now people traveling across the city in order to send their children to those schools. And then there's the debate of, well, do you have a, for those schools, do you base the requirement on religion and zoning as well to try and, again, deal with numbers?
Yeah, you wonder if they're like, surely there's some sort of audit that they're doing, right? Like, surely if you can't just say like, I've been going to church for the last 10 years every year. Surely someone's like, you ever seen this guy in church? Like, where'd you come from?
Interestingly, they are. They're having to prove that the church will have to provide evidence saying that this is an active member, you know, of our community.
How do you do that? Do you just do like a reference check and be like, yep, just give him a buzz?
Big man.
Yeah, we know each other.
I think it's a few steps down.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Hope and then
mate,
local.
You don't just go straight to the CEO. You've got to get through HR first.
There's a delegation process, And so, because I was going to ask, how do they test their religion? Say, for example, if Mike wanted to go to that school, I assume they just throw some holy water on him. He catches on fire and they're like, oh, we're definitely not taking this guy. How do you test somebody's religion?
I guess you'd talk to the the church.
So like,
the church will generally...
If I go to St. Peter's every Sunday, they'd call St. Peter's. Are they going there?
You will have to provide evidence that says this is an active member of our parish. This is someone who comes in.
I could just
imagine being... And then obviously, you know, if you've been baptized, it tends to help quite a lot and have been through the process of being confirmed as well.
Yeah, I could just imagine lots of people being like, look, I don't go to church. I have a relationship with God in my own way.
Cool. So we're seeing record numbers of migration coming into the country recently. You know, we know that roughly 60% of New Zealand's net migration goes to Auckland. How do you think that's going to impact the school zoning and the property prices?
Mm, good question. It's an interesting one because there's this assumption, and we talk about supply and demand, that we simply do not have enough houses in New Zealand. And I've heard a few comments saying, oh, well, the problem with immigration is that it's pushing, you know, it's going to push property values up. And it's not entirely correct. Most people who come to New Zealand will rent for the first year, maybe a couple of years, establish themselves. So you're certainly going to see demand in those zoned areas because a lot of people are coming across. Highly skilled, want their children. Again, they're going to be looking at what are the best schools. They're opening up Metro. Well, these are the best schools. How do I get into them? And they're going to be looking at the zoning. So they will be renting. Certainly, I think in the next couple of years, you will start to see more of that. Those people who have migrated to New Zealand now saying, okay, now's the time to actually be buying, it's going to put more pressure on those properties. And we know that resource consents are low. We know construction costs are high. We can't build more properties. We know that schools are worrying about this. We've already seen the impact of infill. So maybe it is a question of, you know, are there other schools that are hopefully offer, you know, other facilities or areas that are going to gentrify and become more popular to help ease the burden on those zones?
Yeah. Cool. And Alex, as a buyer's agent, I'm sure there's lots of people listening that are thinking, well, I haven't even thought about this problem or I'm thinking about it. It's going to cost me a couple $100,000. As a buyer's agent, how can you help families?
So the majority of my clients now are coming in as families, and they might be right at the start of that journey. They're saying, okay, well, actually, do we buy into Grammar Zone now? You know, children only this big, but we're thinking in advance. But they tend, a lot of them are people who are buying out of zone at the moment. So like that couple I mentioned before, so they're buying, they want to buy into an area, but they don't know the values. They say, look, we know what our house is worth and Te Terangui we're at the moment, but actually we want to get into Westlake zone. What are the properties worth? How do we find the right one? We don't have the relationships with the agents there. So a lot of the work I do is giving them advice and actually sourcing them properties as well and giving them advice around things like, you know, are we sitting in a floodplain? What is the risk of any damage to this property? Safety, security, access to those schools. I've been working with a client recently who's moving to New Zealand. In fact, a number of my clients are moving to New Zealand as migrants or expats, and they are
coming back.
Yeah, I've been working with a couple recently. I've spoken to a couple. They're based in Hong Kong. They are expats. Now, Hong Kong has changed hugely in the last couple of years, as we know, and they are saying, actually, we're going to send our children to schools here in New Zealand. Interestingly, they've said we want to buy into Epsom, Mount Eden, Remuera because they're lovely areas. We really like them, but we're not sending our children to that area. How do we avoid the grammar uplift? I said, you're buying into that zone. It's very challenging.
Yeah.
We'll probably end up on the other side of Upland Road.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that there's more and more people also saying, look, we want to, New Zealand education is a focus for us and we're willing to invest the money. But again, we need someone on the ground to actually advise us on where should we buy them and what's a good quality home. So yeah, more inquiry from families. The other thing is that particularly if you look at the zones and these areas, a lot of families, both parents are working. So they don't have time to go out on a Thursday afternoon and go to the open homes. And weekends are precious. They're meant to be spent with family, not schlepping from house to house, you know, speaking to agents and taking your shoes on and off.
Yeah, being asked what this house is worth. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, here I am on a Saturday hanging out with you guys instead of my family. Alex, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And thank you to Velocity for sponsoring this episode, giving us some really valuable insights. Very keen to hear in the comments, what do you think? Would you spend a couple $100,000 to be in the right school zone? Would you send your kids to a private school instead? Or would you just blow it all in a great hot girl Euro summer? Thank you very much. Please make sure to subscribe, review, and like, and we'll catch you next time.
Cheers.